When Glenn made that announcement a while ago, he was right. The only thing he didn't announce it is it's 5-7 and down this Sunday, 5-7 and up next Sunday. Some of you have already forgotten what he said. Man, I'm telling you, you can go back to sleep. I'll wake you when the service is over. We're glad that you're here this morning. We've got a young man here for the very first time. He's never been in a worship service in all his life, but he's here for the first time. Isn't that great? Little Brandon Scott Myers. We are tickled to death that they are here and back there, and they're both going, would he just shut up? He didn't have to say all that, but we're glad that Scott and Christine are here with that little baby. We've waited a long time. We got one more to go, don't we? Poor old Casey's back there. She's waiting her time. Asked her mom a while ago if she wanted to wait another month before that would come. She said, no way. The Bible oftentimes draws a distinction between the old and the young. The psalmist does this in Psalm 37, verse 25. For there he says, for now, for I once was young, and now am old. Here's an individual who recognized there was a period in his life when he was a young person. But now, as the years have passed, he recognizes that I'm in a different stage of life. A period of being elderly and old. When you turn to 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, you read of the son of Solomon, a man by the name of Rehoboam. And Rehoboam has a decision to make, and as he makes that decision, he first goes to the young men or the older men and asks their opinion, and they give it. He then goes to the young men and asks their opinion, and he yields to the opinion of the young men and makes a grave mistake in so doing. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 8. The Apostle Paul, when he writes the book of Titus, distinguishes between young and old in Titus chapter 2. Verses 1 through 6, he speaks to the aged men. He then speaks to the aged women. He then addresses the younger women and lastly, the young men. There is a distinction between being young and being old. This morning, we want to talk to our young people for a few moments. The title of our lesson is The Benefits of Youth. There are benefits. There are blessings to one's being an old individual, but there are also tremendous blessings that are the younger generations to enjoy. And for the next few moments, we want to talk about some of these blessings with regard to younger individuals. My friend, I would group those who are younger somewhere between the ages of 0 and 40 years old. So I'm talking to a broad group of individuals, even though some of the things won't apply to everyone in those categories. What are some of the benefits of youth? Number one, young people have a much longer time to learn. Does the Bible exhort us to learn and to come to an understanding and to gain knowledge and wisdom and discretion? Absolutely. Proverbs 4, verse 7. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. When you turn to Proverbs 16, verse 16, the Bible says that the getting of wisdom is better than gold. And to choose understanding rather than choice silver. My friends, when Solomon is writing those words, he is not talking about getting worldly wisdom. He is not talking about the carnal schooling that we might get in our schools and universities today. When he talks about getting wisdom and knowledge and discretion and understanding, he is talking about that higher wisdom. He is talking about that wisdom that comes from above, that wisdom that comes from God Almighty. If you're going to get it, then get it, he says. For it is the principal thing. Young people have the ability devote much time to learning. You know, there are some things that must be learned that are extremely intricate in nature. You have to begin at a very elementary level in order to begin to understand them. And then as you understand those elementary things, you begin to build on those things until you develop a full, rich, mature understanding. One such subject in the Bible is that of the Holy Spirit. You don't get that all at once. You have to build upon your knowledge in order to come to a better understanding thereof. There are other things in the Bible that are extremely difficult in nature. And the only way that an individual is going to learn them and it be beneficial to them is for them to spend years in study of that subject. And not just a hit or miss fashion, but in a very disciplined fashion to come to an understanding of it. Take, for instance, the book of Revelation. You are not going to read that book once and walk away with a thorough understanding of that book. There are other things that we study that are very simple in nature, aren't they? And we understand them very quickly. But the more time, the more attention, the more devotion that we give to those particular subjects, the more we begin to appreciate them. The more we understand them and we get on our knees and we thank God for those things. Take, for instance, the action of baptism. It's a very simple act. It has a very simple purpose. But my friends, the more you study it, the more you walk away with an appreciation of that event. There are older individuals in congregations of the Lord's people, and they realize they do not have the time to learn many of the things that they would love to learn. They just don't have the time. And yet, young people have the time to learn those intricate details, to learn those difficult facts, to learn those simplistic matters, and then to relish and enjoy them forever and ever. Closely connected to this benefit is this: young people have the benefit of being able to learn from others. Timothy was a young person who learned from others, did he not? One of the individuals that he learned from was his grandmother. Another that he learned from was his mother. Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also," 2 Timothy 1 verse 5. Here was a faith that Paul gave thanks for in Timothy. But where did he get it? It originated first in his grandmother. And his grandmother passed it to his mother, and his mother then passed that on to the young Timothy. Timothy learned from others. There was another that played a very influential part in Paul's life, and that was a man by the name of the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 2 verse 2, "The things which thou hast learned of me, the same commit thou to faithful men, that they may be able to teach others also." Paul trained the young Timothy. Timothy sat at his feet and absorbed the wisdom and the knowledge that that man had. Young people have the opportunity to sit at experienced, learned, knowledgeable individuals' feet and get wisdom and understanding and knowledge. You know, I look back on my life and there are some individuals that I regret I didn't pay attention to enough when I was young. My granddaddy, I'd have loved to be able to sit at his feet now and talk to him. My dad died at an early age, 60 years old, and I'd love to be able to sit down and talk with him and run things by him and see what he has to say about things. Because I understand they had wisdom and understanding and knowledge about things that I, as a younger man, just don't have. But they're not here, folks. I can't go and talk to them. I can't call them up. I can't glean from their experiences anymore. They're gone. Why? Because I'm older, and as we grow older, those individuals die and they pass from this life, and those opportunities are gone. Solomon said, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." It saddens me today to see so many young people in rebellion to their parents. They act as though their parents are ignorant and unlearned and have no wisdom whatsoever to teach them. My friend, one day you will find out differently. And sadly, the wisdom that you then desire may have long been gone and buried. How sad. How sad. Young people, take the opportunity. Learn. Come to an understanding. Get your wisdom while you're in a very young age. And continue that all the way until you die. Secondly, young people have the opportunity and the benefit of developing themselves fully and completely to the service of the Master. A while ago, Kevin read Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Remember now, therefore, thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draweth nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember your Creator when? In the days of your youth. When you're young. When there's still life that is there. When there's still much animation. For there will come a time when all of that will cease. Again, you can go into congregations of the Lord's people. And you can find older individuals. And they have regrets, folks. Some of them will regret that they were not able to learn the truth early in their lives. Now these individuals, even though they are faithful, even though they are dedicated, even though they are saved, there are things that they wish they could do. They would love to be able to stand before a congregation of the Lord's people and lead in prayer. Maybe give a devotional, extend an invitation. Wait upon the Lord's table, but because they started so late in life, now fear paralyzes their soul and they just are not able to do it. There are older individuals who feel like they have not accumulated the knowledge that they should have accumulated. Now they're elderly. Now it's very difficult to study. It's very difficult to retain the things that they think they need to attain. And yet, had they begun early in life, they would have been some of the greatest Bible class teachers in all the church. But now they can't go back. There are individuals who are elderly in the church whose young years were wasted in riotous living. Those individuals made mistakes, severe mistakes. And because of those mistakes, they are not able to be elders. They are not able to be deacons. They are not able to be Bible class teachers and preachers in the body of Christ. They don't count themselves worthy. And in many cases, they do not meet the qualifications laid down in Scripture because of what went on when they were young. Young people, we need, at an early age, to get focused on service to God Almighty. You've got years to prepare yourself, years to mold, years to develop, years to gain wisdom and knowledge and become a model Christian, to become a humble servant, to become a courageous leader in the body of Christ. That's what we need in the church today, folks. And yet, what do we find in many congregations of the Lord's people? Just as soon as that young person turns 18, just as soon as they graduate from high school, out the doors of the church building they go, never to come back again. We are losing somewhere between 70 and 80% of our young people. Folks, why? Those young people ought to be started early. Dedicated themselves to the cause of Christ. You've got years to give to the Lord. 60, 70, 80 years to give in service to God Almighty. There are many who would love to have that to do over, wouldn't they? Thirdly, young people have the benefit of being able to make some mistakes and have some individuals hold them up, pick them up, and guide them through those troubled areas. You know, one of the great things about youth is they are energetic, aren't they? One of the great things about youth is they are just as zealous as they can possibly be. But young people aren't always very smart, are they? And I know sometimes older folks look at young folks and they say, "What were you thinking?" And they say, "Oh, no." And because they don't temper their energy with wisdom and knowledge, they are going to make mistakes, folks. You tell me which one of us in our young years didn't make some mistakes. Didn't we? Or were you just perfect? We need you up here showing everybody how to do it. We all make those kind of mistakes. Young people are going to say things wrong. Young people are going to do things wrong. Young people are going to get associated with some individuals and be led astray to do the bad things at times. Young people may teach some things wrong. You know what we need, though? We need older men who are going to step up behind them and say, "Hey, I love you. I care about you. I'm going to dedicate myself to training and nurturing you." That's what we need in the church today. Don't just cut them off. Guide them, nurture them, train them, convict them, rebuke them, discipline them. But love them, folks, and show and point them the way that they need to go. There was a young man who made a mistake on Paul's first missionary journey, didn't he? Young man by the name of John Mark, the Bible says. And Paul and his company, loosing from Paphos, came unto Perga in Pamphylia. And John Mark departed from them and returned to Jerusalem. Acts 13:13. Here was a young man, had a great golden opportunity, didn't he? To be with the Apostle Paul upon his first missionary journey. To go with him and Barnabas and to learn all that needs to be learned. He goes a portion of the way, and what does he do? He leaves them and he goes back to his home, to his mama in Jerusalem. Second missionary journey. Someone suggests that John Mark go. What does Paul say? "No way! I wouldn't have that guy. I mean, he's the one who departed from us on that first trip." Thank God. There was an older gentleman who committed to John Mark. The Bible says, and Barnabas was determined to take John Mark with them. Now the contention between Barnabas and Paul was so sharp that they divided one from another. They had to part company. They didn't go on another journey together. Sad, but that's what transpired. The Bible says that Barnabas took John Mark and they sailed unto Cyprus. Acts 13:37-39. I find it interesting, though, years later, the Apostle Paul is writing to his young son in the faith, 1 Timothy 6:11. And he tells Timothy this, "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable unto me for the ministry." Here was an older man committed himself to John Mark. Trained him, nurtured him, showed him the way, showed him the ropes. And later on in life, when Paul is wanting someone, desiring someone, it's Paul himself, the man who didn't want this young man in times past. He now says, "Hey, bring him with you because he's profitable to me for the ministry." Thank God for Barnabases. I sincerely believe that the Apostle Paul was a man who trained and nurtured young men as well. He may have learned a big lesson from Barnabas, you know that. A huge lesson. See, he didn't even pick up Timothy until his second missionary journey. And guess what? He hung close to that young man's side. When you take the book of 1 Timothy and you look at 2 and 3, you're going to find some very interesting statements there made to Timothy. One of the things that Paul tells Timothy is this, 2 Timothy 1:7, "Fear not." You see, it may have been that Timothy had a little bit of a problem with his fear and his anxieties. And Paul tells him, "Timothy, don't fear. Don't be scared." It may have been times when Timothy wanted to hold his tongue and he was a little bit ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And Paul says, Timothy, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. 2 Timothy 1 verse 8. He tells him to hold fast the form of sound words. 2 Timothy 1 verse 13. He tells him to be strong. 2 Timothy 2 verse 1. He tells him to endure hardships. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3. He tells him to study to show thyself approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. He tells him to avoid vain and profane babblings, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. He tells him to flee youthful lust, 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. He tells him that he is to be a servant to all men, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 24 and 25. What did he do? He took Timothy and he nurtured him. And he trained him and he developed him into a faithful, dedicated gospel preacher. Young people, you're going to make mistakes. And I hope we old folks know that. And I hope that we have the patience. I hope that we have the courage. I hope that we have the fortitude. I hope that we have the right kind of thinking that will say, yes, that was a mistake. You did wrong. You shouldn't have done that. You erred. But guess what? I am here to help you and point you in the right direction and train you in the way you should go. Guess what, folks? Victor Eskew is not going to be on the face of this earth forever and ever. You tell me who's going to take the reins when we're gone. You tell me that. If we don't take these young men and develop them and train them the right way, who's going to take the reins when we're gone? Let's not discourage them. Let's do everything we can to encourage. Now, I've talked about three huge benefits of youth so far. And folks, there's a lot more that we could talk about. I'm going to briefly talk about three other things that youth have going for them. One of the things that youth have going for them is this. They don't have as many commitments, especially in those teen and early 20s. They're not married yet. Not as many commitments. That's a good thing. You know that? You get a little bit older, you get married. Uh-oh, now I've got a wife. Or it could be the other way around. I know. Uh-oh, I got a husband. But for me, it's a wife. And then guess what? For some reason, there's these little things that come along. These crazy little beings that demand some attention called children. And there's commitment, is there not, to those little beings. And they're... is work, and we begin to progress the ladder in our careers, and there becomes ropes and ties and strings that are upon us, either to our supervisors or to those that we are in business with, and we have to make and fulfill those commitments. And sometimes those carnal, worldly, earthly type things come before some of the more important spiritual and godly things. I find it interesting, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 32 through 34, that Paul makes mention of those kind of things. He begins by talking about a man who marries a woman. And he contrasts him with a single man. A single man, he can focus upon the spiritual things, he says. But a married man has to focus upon the things of the world, how he may please his wife. He then contrasts the virgin with the married woman. He says that virgin lady, that single lady, guess what? She can focus upon the things of God, but that married woman, she has to focus upon the world sometimes, how she may please her husband. Now, I'm not saying that those things that we have to do are evil and sinful. They just sometimes come before more important matters. And when you're single, you don't have all of those things. You know what I love? I love when you plan a mission trip to go somewhere. And guess who goes? 3/4 of your group are your young people. Why? They can go, can't they? They don't have the commitments. They don't have the jobs. They don't have the ties. Mom and dad are tied down. They can't go. But they can send those young people, and those young people can go. There's young people who can go to gospel meetings. There's young people who can attend classes. There are young people who can do many things because there's no commitments that they have in their life. When you get older, that gets more difficult. So you see, when you're young, use those that time when you don't have commitments. You see, being single and being alone, that's not all bad, folks. Not if you really understand that my life is really supposed to be devoted to what? To the service of the Almighty God. That's who it's devoted to. Secondly, another benefit of youth is that young people can start at an early age taking care of their health. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. You know what's a shame? What's a shame is to see elderly people who have not taken care of themselves from a young age, isn't it? That's a shame. Involve themselves in alcohol, involve themselves in drugs, involve themselves in hard living. Involve themselves in late nights, involve themselves in fornication and adultery and all kinds of sinful activities. Now they get in their old age and guess what? They are not healthy. Now they see sickness grabbing onto their bodies and they're not able to do for the cause of Christ what they would like to be able to do. Why? Because of the kind of life they chose to live as a young person. Young people, take care of your health. Dedicate yourself to your health so that you can serve God longer in this world. The last one, we talked about this on Wednesday just a little bit. Young people, if they understand it, if they do it, have the ability to save a buku of money. You know that? That's a benefit of youth. Now you say, why is that a benefit of youth? Well, folks, guess what? The only way you can give is to what? Is to have. That's the only way to give is to have. You know that? And we need generous, liberal, bountiful givers in the church of our Lord. Wouldn't it be great if we had about 25 millionaires at Oceanside? That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? Need something? Guy pulls out 50 grand out of his pocket. Here, just take it. I don't need that. Wouldn't that be grand? But you see, most of us aren't like that, are we? We live from paycheck to paycheck, barely making it, and praying that the government's going to keep us living till we die. But if young people would begin early, they could save enough money where they could have plenty to give back to God. I was doing some reading and some research on this, and baby boomers, that's ages 35 to 55, they give a lot, but guess what they don't give to? They don't give to churches. I didn't know what this next one's called until I read. Baby busters. Those are the ones that are from 20 to 35. They give a lot, but guess what it is? It's their time. Middle-aged America, 3 out of 10 people give to a church. In middle-aged America, 3 out of 10. And those that give to a charitable organization, they give 1.2 to 1.4% of their income. It's not very much, is it? Not very much. My friends, the church of our Lord can't survive like that. You know that? In order to give, individuals have to have. Young people can start early and they can accumulate those savings and then they can dedicate large portions of those savings to the cause of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I realize they have to be taught, don't they? They need to be taught such passages as the Lord loveth a cheerful giver, 1 Corinthians 9:7, and that it is more blessed to give than to receive, Acts 20:35. But you can't give what you don't have. It's an impossibility. There's a ton of benefits to being young, aren't there? Tons of them. Young people, here's what you must do. You need to grasp those benefits with everything you've got, and you need to use them as greatly as you possibly can, because I'll guarantee you this, the time will come when those things quickly change. I'll bet you there are a bunch of folks in this audience right now, a bunch of you, that wish that we could go back to the age of about 16, 17, 18 years old with the knowledge that we have today and be able to do it all over again. Because life and my service to God would be totally different, wouldn't it? With just a little bit of knowledge. I hope that all young people will do as the psalmist in Psalm 71, verse 5. For there he says, I trust in the Lord from my youth. My friends, David, from the time he was a little bitty child, trusted in his God. Maybe there's some young people here who need to make a decision for their Lord. They've not even been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, 16. Before that, you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. John 8, 24. You must be willing to repent of sins. Luke 13, 3. And confess the precious name of Christ. Romans 10, 9 and 10. But my friend, you can be baptized this morning for the forgiveness of those sins. Maybe you're a child of God, but you've not been faithful. Even in your youth, you've not been faithful. There was a time maybe 4 or 5 years ago when you made a decision to follow Christ Jesus. And yet, for some reason or another, the world has already got its hooks on you. I've seen kids baptized at 12 and 13 years old, and by the time they're 17, Christianity doesn't mean very much to them. Folks, they need to repent early and ask God to forgive them. Maybe there's some elderly individuals who need to repent, change your life, confess your sins, and come back and serve God, because you know you don't have too many more days before you meet your Creator. Do you need to respond to the Lord's invitation? Won't you come as we stand and sing?